the great Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. I sit here this wonderful Wednesday afternoon, hump day, deciding that I'm going to create premium content because I spent more than 10 seconds creating the script for this podcast, pairing it with music, getting ready to post it on my revamp blog. So here you go. I'm going to be talking about, it's basically a tale of survival, Be Not Afraid by Alyssa Cole. The guy that's on the front page is super fine, and it's about two African Americans finding love on the war-torn battlefield of the U.S. during the Revolutionary War. I basically give my take on it and wondering why we're producing shows about the English aristocracy when during the same period of time we had the same thing over here. What are y'all afraid of? That's what I want to know. Enjoy the rest of this riff on I Will Survive, and thank you for listening. And I hope you subscribe. And that's where I'm going to leave that. So when I've read this book, Be Not Afraid, it is probably one, or it's a series of many, actually. This author, Alyssa Cole, has been writing since the late to early 90s. She's contributed to Oprah Magazine as well as to the great Shonda Rhimes. And no shade. When I mentioned that I am a diehard historical romance, historical fiction fan, North and South, Roots, I've read them all. And I love the pageantry of the Regency period, of King George III period. You know, it's all good and dandy. Oh, even Maria Antoinette. The French, they had, you know, as far as fashion, and don't get me wrong, they still are contributing heavily to what makes fashion great. But at the same time, with Bridgerton, and the reason why I landed on this particular series is very simple. I was like, well, it's Black History Month. Aren't there any Black romance writer, historical romance writer? Well, there are a whole bunch. There's Black romance writers, there's sci-fi writers, there's something called speculative fiction. I had no idea. That have made their mark and have been contributing to the genre, but they don't have these big budget period pieces that people want or deem to produce. Okay, enter Bridgerton. Bridgerton is based on one family's navigation through the Victorian period. The opulent sets, the rich fabrics, what has grabbed everyone's attention because they dared to cast African Americans and brown people in high roles. Queen Charlotte of Mecklenburg and Stylus, it's always been confused that she's black, she's a sister, or there were a couple of sisters in her background. Don't get it twisted. The Duke of Hastings himself, the really salty, what's her name? The Duchess, it'll come to me later. But all of the black characters, including the little girl that actually got knocked up by the soldier boyfriend that actually died on the field, and she ended up having to marry his brother after she tried to trick one of the Bridgerton sons. You know, even in spite of all of that, they took great pains to basically cast African Americans and other brown people, and not what we would call conventionally pretty people in these roles. Okay. All fine and dandy. You obviously spent the money. Great writing. Love the music. But why are we having so many issues with taking a similar story, casting it in America. We had the same thing. We were great copycats. We were an upstart democracy. We had people that it would not have been so hard to have a multicultural cast. What I'm reading now, and I'm really struck by the fact that there is a multicultural representation in the historical romance fiction genre that is based here in the historical events of America. Why did y'all have to go to England to basically recreate and go out of your way to recreate the same thing that some white girl, British white girl, wrote when we had to work that hard? You actually had the blueprint for great authors right here in America. So, and that's where I'm kind of spun out a little bit as far as the historical romance, because when you read the historical romance that from American authors, or this particular American author, Alisa Cole, it's like our love is based on survival. This is a word or sentence by one of the founding fathers of this country, Joseph Warren. Nevertheless, to the persecution and the tyranny of his cruel ministry, we will not tamely submit, appealing to heaven for the justice of our cause. We determine to die or be free. The summary of the story itself is Elijah Sutton is no fool. And I take this directly from Amazon. Despite his love of country that enslaves people like him, when he's offered land, livestock, and mostly importantly, his freedom, if he fights in his patriot owner's stead, he believes that he'll soon have everything he ever wanted, and then he meets Kate, that is the female protagonist. The crown has promised freedom to slaves who escape their patriot masters and join the British side, and Kate intends to take them up on it. She's eager to leave America and the painful memories it holds for her far behind, and then she meets Elijah. With tight, concise prose, we are transported to a tumultuous period in our history. Two individuals finding freedom and love on the battlefield. And that's the representation of that I've read so far as it relates to Black love. These individuals are just trying to survive. They've both made their choice in who they're willing to back. And they find each other in the most inopportune time. This is one of the statements I also highlighted from the book. Life could end quickly, brutally, and with no warning, but sometimes it could offer something that gave all difficulties new meaning. And survival, and not necessarily romantic love, is a repetitive theme in Black romance. When I compare it to the Bridgerton series of the same period, there ain't no balls, no heading to the coast. There's an ex-slave fighting for Washington who's only enlisted slaves because there's a shortage of men to fight on the continental side. He doesn't see them as even men because he still owns several hundred slaves at his big plantation in Virginia. The words would mean nothing to a slave like him, but he really took it to heart because he knew that he had been made a promise, and he could only hope that if he fought, he survived, he would get his land. Very simple. But then loyalists like Kate thought all of it was just plain lies because she had been so brutalized by her master, kicked to the curb by her own husband, who left her to die in that river as they were trying to flee the plantation and get to the British side. Kate basically said it flatly. The British are simply the lesser of two evils. Some folk may choose to stick with the devil they know, but the devil you know is still a devil. And when this war is over, he'll send you straight to hell, whether he wins or lose. She firmly believed that because there's nothing in her experience that would have told her any different. She knew that she didn't have the luxury to fall in love for love's sake. There was no time, there was no energy. Expending so much time and energy on the emotion would seem to be a waste of resources. You would just make poor decisions or imperil yourself. But this would not keep Elijah from developing an emotional attachment to the other protagonist, Kate. Also, she was violated by her lying master and then left to die by her husband, as I mentioned before. And she knew because when she made a rash decision, she would return to the plantation all those years ago, sopping wet and arms empty, and acted as if her husband and child had never existed. Avoidance was an old tact for her. That means she would take pain on by just suppressing it. It would give her a rage that would motivate her to keep fighting for her freedom, but it was also very exhausting to hold up that type of energy. It made her very afraid to love, but she falls for the strong horse whispering Elijah, because Elijah had a reputation even before he was fighting for the Continentals. He could tame any horse, not by brutality, not by the whip, but by simply convincing the animal by like a conveyance of strength. It's okay for you to not buck, and because I'm not going to do anything to you. He would gain their trust, the animal's trust, by simple telepathy almost. And he would break the animal or allow the animal to be more manageable. And he had a rep for that. I saw an article also that just commented on the political leanings of all of Elisa Cole's book. And the basic tenet of all, it seems like, and I don't think I'm going to be corrected when I read her next in this three-part series, but Black love is finding love in the harshest of conditions. Elijah and Kate fought for and fled with promises of freedom. Both sides, loyalists and Continentals, were filled with lying sacks of crap, but each firmly believed, that's the two protagonists, that their freedom could be found on either side. With all of this turmoil, disease, and harm, they find each other with an instant explosive attraction. They can see the beauty of each other. Elijah felt and knew deep down that America was his home. If he could fight in his owner's place and survive to get his freedom promised in the Declaration of Independence, he was willing to risk it all. That's what we all, Black, brown, and dirt poor, have wanted, to be recognized as human and to enjoy the liberties that others enjoy. I personally am one of the flag waving volunteer service members. I love this country, warts and all. This is my home. I threaten to become an expat all of the time, but I don't think I can leave. I don't want to be played, though, taken for granted, or killed in my bed. I have the inalienable rights promised to every other person in this country, even if a bunch of racists and anarchists refuse to recognize it. Last year, Elisa Cole's book, To Catch a Queen, deviated from her usual historical romance genre and explored the thriller genre. Critics asked, why do her books always discuss political views? And she answered, well, why not? Our existence and persistence in this country has always, our existence and persistence in this country has always been political. our struggle from the first Africans that landed here over 400 years ago and brutalized to be devoured in the awful slavery institution to a young man crying for his mother as he was suffocated by the murderous policeman, or the young woman killed in her bed while she slept. Survival is a recurring theme in my culture, but living and thriving is also, and love is also. Elijah risked his life to fight for a master. If he survived that war, could have chosen not to honor the manumission, but he would have two extra slaves, Katie and Charlotte. But contrary to Sutton's contemporaries, he did the right thing and protected Katie and Charlotte while Elijah fought in his place. And of course, they won, because here we are, and here I sit in the United States on Mississippi Avenue, talking about a book about a time over 200 years ago. I can't imagine living with someone as broken as Kate, though. The bit of security she experienced because they still were black and free in the South in the 18th century. But she had enough comfort to reflect on the reports coming out of Canada, because the blacks that backed the crown found themselves in equal or worse conditions than they experienced as slaves. But I believe those conditions, although some probably came back to the United States and some were probably stolen back, there are, and I'm sure there are, a group of Africans there, originally from the states, that actually ended up thriving there. Don't put it past us. Wherever we go, we are going to thrive. So don't get it twisted. But she felt glad that she had made the decision to stay South and with Elijah. On the surface, she was happier than she had been in any point in her life. She could not count on any white person to behave as honorably as Sutton, and she was a black woman. Seemingly, we are not protected and are the most vulnerable. The whole black historical romance genre. I'm wondering, is this particular book in development for a series or for a movie? Alyssa Cole has contributed to Shondaland Productions, but there is no news that they have made public that they're going to be adapting one of her books to a screenplay. Is it because America during the same periods or during these periods was too hard scrabble to convey the lusciousness of Bridgerton sets and costumes? Nah, the loyalists and planters like George Washington, Adams, and Thomas Jefferson were kind of bawling after the war. Everyone copied French fashions just as the British did. I would dare to say the architecture of 18th century New York, Philly, Richmond, Charleston, and New Orleans definitely had the architecture and fashions to convey the over-the-top sumptuousness of the period without the denigration of African-American women. But you can still represent them in their state, because there were some bawling black people. You don't have to actually change the race of higher born people in this country to be able to represent the race effectively. It just seems like they were trying too hard to make it a grand point, when they could have basically just taken this story and represented the actors as they are and had the representation of multicultural representation of the time. With a writer like Miss Coles and a great production company like Shondaland, who have access to great showrunners, could back this story and give it the sumptuousness as it deserves. The cast would be a colorful mix, representation of the time, and the clothes could be richly appointed and period specific to show the difference in class. The rich, pretentious planters and the new money businessmen in fine silks and knee breeches and three-point hats, and poor whites in coarse gabardines. The difference in British uniforms and training, and then the representation of the shabby Continentals who still kick the British's butts. Why won't you just go there, or is it too risky? It will remind us of the ideals upon which our country was built in a period in a period specific area, not trying to portray a multicultural cast because that would represent the society and its struggle with this racial identity. You could have an authentic and beautifully appointed screenplay showing class racial differences, but in America. Nothing against the Brits, and as I said, I loved Downton Abbey and Bridgerton, but we had the same here. And you better recognize, and why won't you take it upon yourself? To represent us here. It's not all that hard, y'all. As I said, it would take just a really good showrunner, a great novel like this short one, and a writer like somebody within Shondaland or Miss Cole herself to put together a great screenplay to bring it to fruition that we can represent U.S. in sumptuous and award-winning terms, just the same as they represented the same era in Britain. Well, why not? And I'm going to leave you with that thought as we listen to Survivor by Destiny's Child. I hope you will read the script in its entirety on Dale's Angels in Blog. And for those people that are just buttheads, that just really, really need a bag of gummy penises, navigate to Ship a Bag of Dicks and use my promo code TimFroGotJokes to get a percentage off of your order and shipping. And as always, I'm always tricked out when people listen to my stuff, and this is just an extra production that I decided to add to my premium stream. And just let me know what you think. If it's not too trolly, I'll read it on air. And as always, thank you for listening and have a great evening. Even in my years to come, I'm still gonna be here. I'm a survivor.